Good day, everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah, called Jesus in the West. The name of this program is Across the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're continuing our study in the Book of Psalms. Last time we left off at Psalm 11, so I'm just going to jump in there today. And we'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us from there. Psalm 11, chapter 11, and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. Let me see, I've got the wrong version here open. I need the King James Plus version. There we go. In the Lord, in Yahuwah, the name, of course, of the Creator. In the received text, put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yahuwah in his holy temple, his throne is in heaven, his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord, Yahuwah, trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Yahuwah, loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. And that's a nice short one there for you. Psalm 12 and verse 1, to the chief musician upon Sheminith. And of course, there with the Sheminith, some words in the King James Version, they did not translate. If we were to translate it into English, it would say, to the chief musician upon an eight-stringed instrument, or a lyre. I guess that's how you say it, a lyre, lyre, lyre. Yes, makes me think of a lawyer, and I say lyre. Yeah, that's just the way my mind works. A psalm of David, help, Yahuwah, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. I was listening to the news before the broadcast, and it's a, if you could see my fingers, you'd see the quotation marks going up. It's a Christian news service, and I noticed that what the Christians seem to be concerned about is whether they allow the Bible in public schools, whether they allow you to have free speech about Christmas, whether you're, and about, and this particular story was about how the NFL was not going to pursue churches for having football parties in the church, and that they could have, they could show NFL games on a football screen, I mean on a football, on a television screen larger than 42 inches in the church, and they would not prosecute them. Well, of course. Why wouldn't they allow idolatry in the church, especially if it's a worship of men in little tight suits running down a field chasing a ball? Why wouldn't they allow that? Isn't that why they do it? Isn't that why they have it? So that they can be worshipped for the great feats and strength of men who still play children's games as adults and get paid millions of dollars for it. And they're going to allow them now to watch it in church. And yes, they said it's okay for the church to take donations because it's a not-for-profit 501c3 corporation. Vanity! It's all vanity. I watch the news on occasion, not every day, and Then they have these talking heads that come on, and all they talk about is sports. And they just try to say it as many ways as they can, but they're like a babbling brook. They have nothing new to say. They tell you 10 different ways how men dribbled the ball down the court and through a little hoop. And we're supposed to get excited about this, right? That they do this day after day after day. It's like you're going to see something new. No, they're still men, grown men, dribbling a ball down a court like they did in high school or grade school. Or they're still men running down a field in tight pants, chasing a pig-skinned ball, trying to get it past a line. On and over, the vanity continues. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's meaningless. Now, men, if you want to go out in your yard and you want to play baseball with your children, do it. Play with your children. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But what does that have to do with watching grown men and spending your days in vanity? They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. That's right, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. Did you see the ball, Gabe? Oh, yeah, what's his name? Really threw that ball. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he ran around them bases again. Uh-huh. And it's just the same thing over and over and over. There's nothing new. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. And now it's okay to bring it in the church. Yes, that's right. You can put it on a big screen TV and everyone can sit in the pews and watch it. Yes, behold your new gods. Men with tights running down a field chasing a pig-skinned ball. Abomination. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart. They do speak. Yes, they are double-hearted, they are double-minded. Yes, they'll praise the Lord and then bring in the big screen TV and praise the men in tights with a double heart. Yahuwah, the Lord, shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, with our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith Yahuwah. I will set him safely, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of Yahuwah are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And that's what we have to look forward to. Well, he will preserve us from this generation forever. At the same time, this generation, they think that they have it over us. And they may persecute us. They may trot us down. They may get their vanity into buildings that feign Christianity, that feign true religion. Yeah. But you shall preserve us forever against this generation. Chapter 12, verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And, wow, you know, there's a nice, short, sweet verse there. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's what I see today in the nation where I live. The vilest men are exalted. They hold all the high places, and the wicked walk on every side. And what happens when the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted? Well, the people of God are persecuted. Chapter 13, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Yahuwah? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Do you ever have those feelings? I know there are people out there that have those feelings. There are those that are in prison today. They have those feelings. They feel these things. You know, we are flesh and blood. And our emotions are a gift from God. The difference between the man of God and those who put their faith on him, yes, they feel those things, but they are not ruled by those emotions. They may even express those things, feeling them very deeply. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, Yahuwah, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You see, even though we feel the pain of our persecution, of our trials and our tribulation, we are triumphant because, as the psalmist writes here, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. We know we have his salvation and it will be forever. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Chapter 14 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yes, and they teach it in the textbooks. And if you don't believe it, they think that there's something wrong with you. If you don't believe what they teach in the theory of evolution, if you believe that God created the heavens and the earth about 6,000 years ago, why, you must be insane. You must have a mental disorder. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's how they say it. And they teach it to everyone. Because the fool that says in his heart, there is no God, he thinks that the more people that he can get to sing that song with him, there is no God. Yes, evolution. We evolved over millions of years. And they're singing their new song, you know, the new song to Satan, whatever lie, just so they don't have to be accountable to their creator. So they say in their heart and then they teach it. And if you teach your children at home, you keep them out of public school, well, they don't like that and they might come after you for it. If you don't pump poison into your children's veins like they require to enroll them into the public school system, and let's call it what it is, their public school temples under the tutelage of their pastors, teachers, who will teach them things like, we all evolved from apes, and the apes evolved from a slime that crawled out of the ocean after it rained for millions of years on the rocks. And everything, way before that, everything was condensed into a tiny little dot, smaller than the period on the page that they printed on. And one day the little dot exploded, and voila, here we are. Only it took billions of years. Billions of years, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Yahuwah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy, and there is none that doeth good. No, not one. For all the workers of iniquity, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon Yahuwah? So when he says he looks down from heaven and he sees that they're all gone aside, of course he's not referring to his people, because he says these people that have gone altogether become filthy. There are none that do good. None have the knowledge. They eat up my people, he says, as they eat bread and call not upon Yahuwah. They don't call upon the Lord, their creator. Why should they? He doesn't exist. There is no God. We all evolved from apes, and the apes evolved from something that crawled out of the oceans after it rained for billions of years on the rocks, and the prebiotic soup was formed. And voila, outsprung something. Not only that, two of them sprung out, one male and one female. What a coincidence, huh? Yeah, so their theory makes no sense, but yet they want to believe it. They believe the lie. Yes, they know the truth deep down. They know the truth, but they delude themselves. They want to believe a lie for only one purpose, because it makes them feel better about continuing in their sin, in their disobedience to the Creator, in their thefts and their extortions and their persecutions of those that are righteous. It makes them feel better about it. They call not upon their Creator, Yahuwah. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when Yahuwah bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And the ultimate release of captivity, of course, was when the Messiah shed his own blood, and he gave up the ghost after saying, "It is finished." The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, putting an end to the sacrifice, as prophesied in the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. He shall put an end to the sacrifice in the middle of the week, shall confirm the covenant with many for a week. He did all of that, and he descended into hell. He died. He laid down his life willingly. And when he went into hell, he saw everyone there that had ever died, and they were captive, but there were those that trusted in him. There were those who by faith looked forward to the Redeemer promised to Adam and Eve by their high priest. The Redeemer was there, and those that trusted in him, they were in a compartment in hell called paradise. That's right, paradise, where they were comforted. While those that didn't trust, they were across on the other side, in this place called hell, where they were tormented day and night. That's the story. That's what Yahshua said. And I believe him. I believe that story was true, see, because why would the Messiah, who knows everything, have to make anything up? I mean, it's always better if you can tell a true story, isn't it? Well, he didn't have to make anything up. He did tell parables. You know, he drew illustrations, and that's fine too, but I don't believe that he was speaking a parable when he was talking about Abraham's bosom. I think he was talking about an actual event that happened. But there they were, the captives, in Abraham's bosom, paradise, that compartment in hell, waiting for the promised Redeemer, all of those who worshiped the truth. And he set the captives free. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can go over there. Take advantage of the resources. Please do enjoy the Bible studies there. I think that you'll find the Bible studies, starting with Genesis, to be very refreshing. One of my favorites that I've done is the book of Proverbs. Malachi was very interesting too. So if you want to hear my favorites, you could start with Proverbs, but do definitely go back to Genesis and go through those with me. Okay, we'll be back after this short break.